This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another medical episode of the Doxcast. I'm your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the quarantine specialist himself, Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing right now?
I'm. What would it be if we're both here? Because I can't say I'm self-quarantined. I'm duo-quarantined. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that would be. It's like, well, you know, like in a music, if you have a solo, then it's just one person singing or playing. But if you have a soli, that's like a section, right? So it's like solely quarantined. I don't know. that's reaching pretty hard.
I see where you're going.
Well, it seemed the only direction I could figure out to go. Anybody else know out there if you're quarantined, but not only by yourself? That would be a group quarantine. I don't know. Two people comprise a group.
You don't know if two people is a group. That's the problem.
Yeah. So. I think we better spend the rest of the episode trying to figure this out. No, we're here to talk to you today, folks. As a second podcast in a group of three, where we're focusing on various bits of entertainment and nerdiness that deals with viruses and diseases and such. Because you know where we're at. You know where things are in the world right now. This whole COVID-19 coronavirus thing that's happening. We're all kind of doing our social distancing. We're doing our best to keep from becoming spreaders of the contagion, and we figured today would be a great day to get together, just the two of us here in the media room at Paradox, but this way we could kind of reach out and hopefully get some other people to join in with us and give you a chance to have some social interaction with two of the greatest people you've ever met.
When are they getting here? All right, I'm in a Statler and Waldorf mood. Right? So yeah, like, and did you just say we just did TV shows and movies?
Correct.
And now it's going to be board games, and then following up, it's going to be comic books. So yeah, we got such great interaction for the first podcast. So I hope we can get that again for board games. So.
Yeah, because there are a lot of board games that at least have some kind of disease element in them if they don't fully focus on it.
Well, there are some that are just diseased.
Well, those are the ones sitting up on the shelves there, right?
Yeah. If only there was like one board game that I can think of that just like best exemplified like a virus outbreak and like fighting that and you know, it's just, boy, I just can't think of a single thing.
Monopoly? Is that?
Yeah.
That's a board game, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, let's just go ahead, elephant in the room. Let's talk about Pandemic.
Oh yeah. By the way, Paradox got four copies of that in yesterday. So.
Oh, perfect timing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Plus, you still have at least one copy of the 10th Anniversary Edition, which
also
comes in
true.
A cool, like, case. You know, it looks like a first aid kit.
So I'm torn on this, right? Because on the one hand, I think it could be fun to sit around playing games of Pandemic. You know, like, we're gonna take on the world pandemic. The problem is, usually lose it, but Pandemic. And so I'm just concerned about the message that's going on there. So
John and I, last Thursday, played, we played Spirit Island because we can never get enough of that game. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But we had some time. The game went so well, we just absolutely crushed it and we won. Then we're like, well, we still have some time. I had brought Pandemic the Cure, which is the dice version of Pandemic. And again, which I'll go into some more detail here in a bit because I prefer that one over vanilla Pandemic. But we played around with that and it was really good. We came up like right to the end. We almost won and then just didn't get the right roll and we lost. And it's like, well, that's disappointing. We hope that if we're streaming content about a virus that we would win, you know, just to lift up hopes a little bit. Instead, it's just like, well, guys, here's your future. Just predicting it right here. That's But I digress.
I wish the cure to Corona was as simple as this, like, we're running around and crushing cubes and matching up colored city cards. And
right. Yeah, go and just wander into a city, and it's just like, let's find this small group of people. You're cured now. You're fine. We'll get to the rest of you later. But you guys are okay.
Oh, we need a research facility here. Boom, got it. You know,
just build it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a little bit of abstractness to the game. Erin Wallach just commented that Chad, her husband, who both of them game here quite often, at least they used to before
Hi, Chad
the lockdown
and
Aaron. Happened, said that Chad agrees with me that the cure is better than pandemic. Mm. So thank you, Chad. I always value your opinion, but I especially value that one.
Well, yeah, the thing about Chad is, like, if you want the consummate, sophisticated, complex gamer, like, Chad is your guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Pandemic. Pandemic, for me, was one of the... when I was first getting into board games, like, really getting into it, there was Dominion, and that kind of flipped a switch. Like, before that, I played Robo Rally and didn't realize, it's like, oh, clearly there are other great games like this around. But in my mind, it was like, well, there's, like, Monopoly and all that. There's Robo Rally, and then there's, like, Axis and Allies. Clearly, there was a whole other world. Once that switch got flipped, we played a game of Pandemic. My buddy Paul had that. And like everyone else will say, when you first play Pandemic, you kind of play it and you're like, okay, whatever. And when you get that first Epidemic and you shuffle the cards that have already been drawn and put them back on top of the infection deck, a light goes on. You go, oh, that's how this works. Pandemic is a great design. It is wonderful. You know, I don't want to come down on it and in any way and give the impression that it's not a good game, because I think it really is. But I don't know exactly what it is. There's just something about Pandemic that I don't enjoy as much as so many other games. And it's almost a sticking point with me, in a sense, that there are so many other good, like, cooperative games that get overlooked because Pandemic is the one everyone goes to. It's like, oh, you haven't tried cooperative games, you should try Pandemic. And it's like, maybe they're right. But there's also things like Ghost Stories, which is an amazing game. It's brutal, but it's so good. And it's like, very few people know that compared to Pandemic. And they're, you know, in my brain, it's like, well, they're kind of in a similar place. Try this one. You don't always have to go to Pandemic. Anyway, Pandemic, great game. And there have been a number of other iterations of it. There are expansions to it. Of course, the Pandemic Legacy series, seasons 1 and 2, have been phenomenal. I absolutely love those games. I know there are people in the board game community who have various opinions on legacy games, which, for those of you watching, if you're not familiar, a legacy game is a game that you play, and when you reset the game, like after you play, things happen that change the state of the game forever. So most times you play a board game, when it's done, someone wins or not, and you pack it up. The next time you pull it out, it's the exact same game. Setup's the same, you play with the same components. Legacy games have you adding cards, adding in components, tearing things up, putting stickers on your board, changing the fundamental way that the game actually plays. And there are 2 seasons currently. There's going to be a third. It's basically, it was designed as a trilogy, or at least conceived as a trilogy. I don't know if they designed it all at once or what exactly the thought process was there, but there will be a third season to finish out the
Someday.
Overarching story. Yeah, at some point. But that's a fantastic game, because you start off just basically playing Pandemic, and then immediately they throw a wrench at you that completely, it's like, this is how you play Pandemic. And it's like, oh, there's one thing you absolutely just can't do now that you are used to doing if you've ever played Pandemic. You know, and it's brilliant the way that they take something, because Pandemic's pretty well known. It's considered a gateway game in the same realm as, like, Catan, Carcassonne, you know, those sort of things. It's really awesome. And it ends up telling a story over the course of 12 to 24 games, and then it continues in Season 2. So I really enjoyed those games. Pandemic the Cure that we've been talking about is the DICE version of Pandemic, where each role in Pandemic, or in the Cure, has their own set of custom dice. And you roll those dice and use those to fly around, treat disease, and every role has special rules, like in Pandemic. But they also have specific faces on their dice that can give them certain abilities and things. And that's very cool. It's a lot more random because it's all dice-based, but there's a lot of really... I think it's a lot of fun. So there you go. Get those out in the open right away. Rich, do you have any thoughts or feelings on Pandemic or any of those?
You know, I really came to Pandemic late. And, you know, and I played, it's weird, I played a lot of, my family played a lot of Forbidden Island, know, and then some Forbidden Desert. Damn it. So I keep eating these peanuts and they keep getting stuck in my throat. So it sounds like I'm dying.
and by extension, I'm
and
dying.
Then by extension, Josh is dying. But yeah, my confidence that's not the case is actually very high. But you know, also, you know, you and I probably aren't in the demographic, you know, that we get it and die. So there's that.
Let's hope. Yeah, fingers crossed.
But yeah, no. So we played a lot of Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert, you know, and things like that. And really, they're the gateway into playing Pandemic if you haven't played Pandemic, right? And so, yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit in the camp that I think straight up Pandemic. Boy, how do I want to say this carefully, is a little overrated or is not, like, I understand why it's a great game and I understand mechanically, but I think it's like just, it's tough. It has to be a complex game in order to do what it does. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's one level of complexity there that I don't care for or something. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to put it. And I don't know what, I don't even know what I would want to change. I mean, I'm not a game designer, so.
Yeah. Now, for me, I can point to a couple of things that I like, I don't like about it, or that I like less than other games. So you brought up like Forbidden Island, which in some ways is a less complex version of Pandemic, but I prefer Forbidden Island to Pandemic, due in part to the modular board. So obviously in Pandemic, you've got the world. You know, and you can't really change where
the layout of the world.
Yeah, Atlanta is going to be where Atlanta is all the time.
You can if you go to Disney, because if you go to which right now you'd be the only one there. But if you go to Epcot, the way they have the countries laid out is not at all like countries are actually laid out. But right, yes, in Pandemic.
And so there's something about that, you know, that the board is static, you know. So these places are always going to be trouble spots if they hit. And these places are not going to be as difficult, but they're going to be hard to get to. And stuff like that. So there are some of those things that I find less interesting. And then, in addition, one thing that's always just kind of bugged me about Pandemic is that there's this very awkward rule that you're not supposed to show your hand of cards to the other players. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is it's trying to discourage the alpha gamer problem, which in cooperative games is when someone kind of takes over. If you have all the information and you have the right personality, you can very easily interject that onto everybody and say, okay, here's the right way to play. On your turn, go do this, this, and this. On your turn, go do this, this, and this. And it's discouraging that kind of play, which is important because that can really ruin the game for people.
Yep.
If you're not having a conversation about what to do and allowing people to make their own choices, then that's an issue. And so that's always just kind of bugged me to say, like, it's just like, well, we know that this problem exists, but we can't really get rid of it. So even though it's a cooperative game, have secret information. Like, you can tell people what's in your hand, but you're not supposed to show them what's in your hand. So at least forces people to communicate that way.
Yep.
So, you know, and those are some minor squabbles, I realize, but it's just a couple of things that really keep it from rising to the top, in my my opinion. But I still enjoy it. Like, we set up here for our last, our most recent and until the foreseeable future, our last game day when we did the It's Your Turn event. We set up some board games with accessibility kits, and Pandemic was one of them, so that persons who are blind or low vision could play the game. There's actual Braille on the cards and on the board, and it was really kind of cool to see that all come together and get to put that together. And I ended up playing with a couple of people who were in the store. They were sighted folks, but they were in, and they're just like, oh, let's, are you having demos of Pandemic? It's like, sure, come and sit down. And I played it with them, and it was enjoyable. I mean, we had fun. I'm not going to, like, turn my nose up at a game of Pandemic, but it definitely is not super high up on my list. Like, I don't own a copy of regular Pandemic, and I'm okay with that. Because I have a number of other games in my collection that scratch that itch, but better for me. And so there you go. There's Pandemic. That's probably what you expected us to start with in a podcast about board games that deal with viruses and pandemics. It's right there in the name, so it made sense.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the, you know, to be clear, what I'm saying aside, you know, it's one of the four basic food groups of board games, right? Like,
right.
If you had a, here's the four games that best represent the industry and what these games are like, that's one of them, so.
Yeah. And there are a few other, so there are some expansions for the base game. We talked about The Cure, which is a dice version of Pandemic. There's also, I believe there's a card version of Pandemic, which is funny to say because Pandemic, the board game, has cards, but this one, I think, eschews the board altogether. And I could be misremembering that, but I believe there was a version that deals with just cards. And there's also a real-time version that was designed in conjunction with Kane Klenko, who did some of my favorite games, Fuse and Flatline. He's done some other ones, too, but those ones are also real-time. That one's called Pandemic Rapid Response, and I've been curious about that because I do like I said, King Klenko's other real-time designs, but that one, at least initially, was a Target exclusive, which, boo. I mean, good for the gaming industry to be getting out there into the, you know, to the greater public as a whole. That's fine. We need exposure to the world, but I always cringe a little bit when it's like, here's this board game, but you can only get it at a major department store, you know. It's like, thanks, we're the friendly local gaming store that's been purchasing your product and selling it, so thanks for supporting us. That's another topic for another day. So I don't know if that one is actually available now for everyone, any stores to purchase and put on the shelves. I've been curious about it just because, like I said, I like Kane's other designs, but yeah, so there's a good chunk on Pandemic to get us started. Let's see, where should we go from here? Rich, do you have any other ones, or shall I just
yeah, you're gonna have to plow ahead on those. I was just checking on the Facebook feed to see if we had
And feel free, if those of you who are watching, we're looking for your responses too, so if you have any games that you particularly like or would recommend that have a virus or disease element to them, let us hear it. We want to hear from you guys. We want to give you all a chance to chat with yourselves and with us, so pop on in. I'm just going to go ahead. We talked briefly about Spirit Island. It's been at least 3 days since I mentioned Spirit Island on any kind of podcast, so I think we need to bring that up. Spirit Island does have disease in the game. There are disease tokens, and there is a spirit coming up in the new expansion that deals specifically with the disease, so I figure we can put that into our chatting today. Spirit Island is another cooperative game. If you haven't heard me talk about it to the extent to which you want to hang me because I keep talking about it, it is probably my favorite board game, at least currently, if not of all time. And it's great. Basically, you've got players playing as spirits, different spirits that live on this island. And there are colonists who are coming to the island, and they're starting to ravage the land and break your connection to it. And that's a big no-no. So the spirits all start fighting back. And the colonists, I mean, you could say that the colonists act kind of like a virus. They're, like, you know, we mentioned, humanity is kind of a virus. Basically, they get into lands and they build and they spread out and get stronger, and you need to contain them and take them out. But you also have some of your spirit powers that you can get will add disease that, of course, makes the invaders sick so that they can't build and fortify their lands with more towns and cities. But yeah, Spirit Island, super great design, especially if you love good puzzly games that can really burn your brain. If you play it on a good high difficulty level, just trying to figure out the way your spirits can interact with each other and support each other to keep your lands clear of these pesky invaders it's great. Huge, huge fan of Spirit Island, so check that out if you haven't already. I think I've personally sold like 4 or 5 copies to people. Not that I run the till, but I've managed to sell people on the game.
No, you definitely have. And so, I've watched you be a ferocious championship for that game.
If you're excited about something, I don't know about anyone else, but I get excited about things when other people are excited about things. And so I think that's kind of passed on to some people. But Chad has commented here. He's brought up Clinic by Albin Vired. Has an expansion module about managing virus outbreaks while managing your hospital. So I've heard of the game Clinic. I didn't realize that, or I didn't know about the expansion or the module there. So that's kind of cool. I don't know much else about the game itself, because I haven't played that one. But there's a good recommendation for you guys. If it comes from Chad, it's probably got to be worth trying at least once. So we got that one there. let's see. What else have we got? Another one of my favorite games that doesn't really focus on viruses and disease, but has disease in it, is Dungeon Pets. It has sickness and possible disease there. That's a pretty fun game. Full of a lot of good humor. It's a great worker placement game where you also have to manage taking care of these monstrous pets that you get, and it's possible that they might get sick, and if they get sick and there's too much filth in their cages, if you haven't been cleaning it out, then they can possibly get sick and get depressed and all sorts of fun stuff. Chad is saying there's a lot of expansions to Clinic. It's a very heavy game. So yeah, one thing that I don't know that we've ever really talked about on the podcast before, when we talk about games and if they're light or heavy, you can probably ascertain what we're talking about. But just to put it out there, basically a light game is something that is, you know, there's oftentimes a luck element to it, or the strategy itself is not super intense. Like, you can play and you can make a mistake, you can make several mistakes and still potentially win. The heavier a game is, usually the less luck is involved, the more strategy and planning you need, and simple mistakes could completely put you out of the running if your opponents are playing well. So if we're saying that Clinic is a heavy game, then that's what that means typically. Chad, feel free to expand as much as you want on the game. We'll be happy to share that over the podcast here as well. Just because sometimes that's, you know, the best way to find out about new games, because there are a ton of them on the shelf. There's a ton that are coming out quite constantly, and it can be hard to know where to go. So if you get a good recommendation on a game, sometimes that's a good way to find something that you normally wouldn't have messed around with. So,
well, and I was trying to think of, I was trying to do a little research too, and think of whether there was trying to come up with like a card game, you know, like a collectible card game that had a virus base. And I was really racking my brain all the way back into the 90s, I can't, you know, the closest one, I mean, not that it's a, but there was the vampire card game the day, and so not exactly that, but you know.
Well, if we want to be not too literal, there was Netrunner.
Yeah, that's true. I thought of that. Yep.
You were hackers or runners, and you could put viruses into these corporations, use viruses to get into corporation computers and stuff like that.
It's true.
So that was there. And I'm sure Magic has plenty of cards that reference some kind of virus or disease or something. I mean, Pestilence was a card that was pretty darn good. I remember that. You know, you could even possibly say, like, the whole thing with, what is it with Marauden that got infected by the...
That's pretty close. Phyrexia. And,
Phyrexia.
So there's a lot of contagion there. There's actually a mechanic where you poison other players. So instead of doing 20 damage to them, you do 10 poison to them.
Right.
And there's a mechanic where creatures put -1/-1 counters on other creatures when they attack instead of just damaging them. So, yeah, I mean, there is actually... That's true. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm the Magic player, and I can come up with that one. So.
I know a little bit about things.
Doom Tripper have a virus? Wyvern?
So yeah, there's some good stuff out there. I had something else there in that line that, left my head. No, that's all right. It was in line with what we were just talking about. Not your fault at all. That's just my memory eroding, because... reasons. There's Virus Incorporated, right? Is that what it's called? Virus Inc. Board game. I haven't played that one either. I think it started off as an app, a mobile application, or even a computer game or something, and then they made a board game version of it. So it's like not really, I don't think it's the opposite of Pandemic necessarily, but you are playing like the virus. And you're trying to spread out and mutate and, you know, basically infect the world. Once you infect so much of it or whatever, you win. So there's that. And that game actually reportedly got pulled down from the various app stores in China after the coronavirus outbreak happened. They apparently didn't see that as something that people should be downloading and playing. But yeah, they did make a board game version of that. Again, haven't played it, so I can't speak too much on it, but I know people who've played it and enjoyed it. So there's that one. Let's see. I thought for sure I had some others here. I'm now coming up blank. But... But yeah, help us out here, folks. If you're watching, can you think of any other board games, card games that deal with viruses? Oh, here we go. How about viruses or diseases that you can get in like role-playing games, like Dungeons & Dragons, right? You've got like mummy rot. That's always a classic disease that you can get. Do we have any other role players hanging out with us, possibly in the chat, that... you could expound upon some of your favorite diseases from role-playing games?
There's got to be something that it's going to be like the last one, right? Because, like, I was just thinking about how in the TV and movie one, we should have brought up the Borg. Because, like, to some degree, essentially a virus that they're this, you know, originally there's just an unstoppable force that absorbs, you know, everything or whatever. So, yeah, like, unfortunately, too, like, for me, like, board games just not being my, primary is, you know, my primary thing, so my deeper knowledge is not great, you know, so.
Yeah.
Isn't there a, well, okay, I mean, what about, like, werewolf? Because, like, effectively, werewolves are created by being bitten by other werewolves and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Like, oh, board games, zombie.
There's a ton of zombie games.
Well, and there was the original, or, you know, the one like about 8-9 years ago. There was just the tile-based zombie one, and there were like all kinds of expansions for that also.
Yeah.
I never played that thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, yeah. I also have not played that one, but yeah, there was, again, it was one with a lot of expansions and was a fairly large game if you put it all together. So yeah, there's zombie and a number of other zombie related games. again, the zombieism is the disease in there, as we discussed a lot in movies, and we already went over the zombie topic quite a bit in the last podcast, so we won't retread all that ground. But
yeah, well, and like, but I can think of some popular, like Dead of Winter, right? Isn't that surviving a zombie outbreak?
Basically? Yeah, yeah. Basically, you've got a colony
and appropriate to our area.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, Dead of Winter, and that's had a few expansions and stuff. Also, just a kind of a side note. So the Dead of Winter game series was the first that introduced a certain story mechanic to the game, and I'm blanking on what they called that now, which is great podcasting. Good job, Josh. But essentially what it was is there was a deck of cards, and on your turn, the player, like to your right or left, drew a card, and it would have a trigger on it, and you'd play your turn, and if at any point you took whatever actions there were necessary to trigger that card, they would stop you, read the card, and then something would happen. So it would inject a random element and a story element into the game. Crossroads cards, thank you, Chad. It was a Crossroads game, and it was kind of Plat Hat Games was touting it as, you know, kind of a system they were going to be rolling with and creating a lot more Crossroads games. It was really cool. Some people didn't like it because you could play a game and only trigger a couple of the cards, or you could play a game and a whole bunch of them. It just depends on what characters you were playing and, you know, what happened in the game and what cards were drawn. But it was really interesting. But apparently, Fantasy Flight Games, I believe, has the rights to Dead of Winter now. And I don't know how that goes with Crossroads games, if Plat Hat Games maintained that, or if Fantasy Flight got that system when they got the rights to do Dead of Winter. So that might be interesting to see how that plays out. Chad also mentioned there's a game called Cytosis, which is an educational board game about cellular biology that has a virology expansion. So that's kind of neat. Educational board games, there are some really good ones out there. Like, some board games you play are educational on their own, or there's, you know, life lessons that can be learned from them. But there are some that are specifically, you know, released as educational games. And there are some that are actually really quite good. So I always like a good tip on educational board games, because, you know, obviously I've got kids, and my wife is a reading tutor right now. There isn't a whole lot of board gaming she really does at school, but my mom is a teacher, and I always like to throw possible educational board games at her if they might be relevant to her class and their studies. So I might have to look into that one and just see if there's if that fits in with that. So,
you know, this is nothing directly to do with board games, but I meant to mention this earlier, and for a little bit of a wall, I do have, like, one thing, you know, we did our previous podcast was on TV and movies and stuff like that, you know, so this would be a better comment for the next podcast. I'm just going to shut up. So it's just about how, like, watching them, like, unfold and how, like, And thinking about, like, that process, how accurate it would be. Because, like, when you watch them unfold, usually you start with normal people and then the events are kind of on a news screen in the background or sort of slowly happening. And I always thought, well, that's kind of weird. That was exactly what happened, right? Like, this last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, so
I wonder if that might be an interesting... I don't know if any board games currently do that, but wouldn't that be an interesting thing, is that you could have a board game where you're playing it and then it's possible that this event could happen and completely change the way the game is played. Like, well, one game that kind of does that, but in a different way, is Anachrony, which is a game about time travel. And apparently, you know, you learn that there's some event that's coming. This, you know, great explosion happens and humanity is fairly doomed. It becomes an apocalyptic scenario, but you know that because part of the explosion traveled back in time. And so the game is all about, so there's time travel in the future, and so you can send yourself resources from the future to try and build up to get your kind of tribe, you know, your group of followers to be the ones that get to board the ship that's leaving Earth. So there is a point of the game at which that thing happens, and then you only have a couple rounds left, and it kind of changes a bit about how the game is played. But I think that would be a really interesting mechanic, is to create a game that you play, and then, you know, one of any number of events could happen that don't just make it like, oh, now water is more scarce or something like that, but legitimately changes the rules of the game, where it's like, okay, you are playing this, and, you know, like, maybe it's a farming game, because there are a lot of games that have to do with farming. And then suddenly some apocalypse happens, apocalyptic event, and now you have to gear up and fight zombies, or you have to cure a plague, or, you know, whatever. So don't steal that, anyone. That's my idea. I'm going to design that. That'll be my game. Because wouldn't that be interesting, though? It's like you're playing, and then suddenly it's like, oh, now it becomes cooperative, because you have to band together to fight this off or something, or, you know, it just makes it a completely different game halfway through. But that would be interesting. Dr. Microbe, Chad mentioned, is a cute kid's dexterity game with viruses and bacteria. So that's... Dexterity games are interesting, too. Certainly not a very large genre, at least within the hobby board game, or the board game hobby, whatever direction you want to put those words in. But there are a couple of good ones out there for dexterity games like that. I always find those kind of interesting, too, to see how people can put an element that is, you know, I mean, fairly outside of the systems of the game and still make it work. Obviously, if it's a kid's game, there are a number of dexterity games that way. But yeah, just as a side note there, dexterity games, I find interesting when people actually put those out there, whether it's creating structures to keeping them from falling over or flipping discs or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't help as much as I mean, I came up with the whole zombie thread games. That was pretty good.
No, that was good. I don't know how I was missing that. I think I was all zombied out. But you know, obviously the big one was Pandemic. We hit that right away, and we got those, and then the virus. There's another game called Viral, I guess, that's where you're playing a virus that's growing inside the human body, and you try to take over or out-virus your other players. So there's that. There's a game called Virus with an exclamation point on it. So there are a number of them. I haven't really played a lot of those, though, so again, can't really comment too heavily on them. Yeah, Chad says he's got your back for the board game. So
thank you, Chad.
Yes, definitely appreciate that. So yeah, and I'm sure, you know, they're, like we've mentioned with a couple of them, like Dungeon Pets, it's not a game about viruses or diseases, but they exist within the game. There are, I'm sure, plenty of games that have that as some kind of a system in there, you know, that it's like, oh, this can happen if you're raising livestock, they can get sick or whatever. So I think maybe we've about covered it for board games here. We're pretty close to time,
but unless somebody else has, you know, pops in and drops some obvious one. Look, you know, I believe that if you and Chad didn't come up with it, it doesn't exist. That's my, you know, maybe
well, there's gotta be.
Maybe if we had Lance involved or something, you know, but that's about it. So
I'm sure there's got to be other ones that we're just not thinking of. Spoiler alert, if you're playing Gloomhaven, there is a class that kind of deals with disease in a way, a plague of some sort, but with using the mechanics in the game for poison and curses and stuff like that. So there are some other things out there. And yeah, we didn't really get much into. I'm sure there's a lot more role-playing game stuff that could, you know, really come through with that. In D&D alone, we mentioned mummy rot, but there are other diseases that players can get, magical diseases and things like that. And there was actually, I'm not going to remember the name of it now, but it was a role-playing setting, I think it was in the GURPS system, that that dealt with like a nano virus that was plaguing humanity, and the machines were taking over, kind of a thing, which that will lead into our comics discussion coming up next year, in I'm sure. But yeah, I think we're good here. So unless anybody else in the chat has any other thoughts or recommendations, you know, not even recommendations necessarily, but any board games that you've played that deal with viruses, or even some of your favorites. I mean, heck, if you really love Pandemic with the On the Brink expansion, we haven't gone into detail about that, but we'll be happy.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many different... I was thinking that earlier when we were talking about Pandemic and kind of looking at, like, all the versions that were out there. And I know, mm-hmm. like, over time, I know some of them were good and some of them weren't, and you know, some things like that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pandemic's kind of the big one there.
Yeah, I mean...
But we do appreciate all you folks for tuning in, whether it was after the podcast was posted on the website or if you're here live with us like Chad is. Thank you again for being a part of the podcast with us. We hope you guys are all staying safe out there. Paradox is doing its part to encourage social distancing while still being open and available for your nerdy needs. We hope that you go to ParadoxCNC.com. And check out the website there in total, but also on the front page, we do have several of our latest blogs, and right in the middle of that is a link to our blog about all of the policies and changes and updates that are going on at the store due to the current outbreak and virus situation that we're dealing with in real life. So we hope you'll check those things out. The main thing there is that the store is implementing policies. Obviously, events are canceled for the time being, at least ones in store. We're working on ways of getting some good support from Wizards of the Coast, and we're working on our own ways to introduce remote gaming for Adventurers League, Dungeons & Dragons, and also we're going to try to do some board gaming things so that folks, you can still... play board games with your friends remotely through the store. So we hope that we'll still be a hub for you in some capacity.
And stay tuned for what we think is going to be a big deal in a couple of weeks. So we'll be working with some of the conventions in town. And essentially what we're going to do is we're going to replicate a tabletop night or game day. I mean, that's the gist of what it's going to be. So we all miss and are craving that those once a month nights at Paradox, or that weekend at CoreCon, or wherever it is. And we're gonna do that virtually. So the community is going to have a tabletop night on April 4th, and it's going to be a play together event. So we'll have you guys playing your games at home, chiming in, posting pictures. We're going to come up with some ways beyond that to tie it together. Maybe we can do a few giveaways. Maybe we can get CoreCon to pitch in, you know, like so on and so forth, right? And then Josh is brewing up a special tie together for everybody to be able to do something together. So just stay tuned. I mean, we'll probably just create this event on Monday so that it gets out there, and then we'll start working on our partnerships and how to make it an awesome day. So,
yeah.
I mean, the problem is that's 2 weeks from now, and right now I don't know what's going to happen 2 hours from now, but I still, you know, I mean, I think it's worth just let's get it moving. So.
Absolutely. No, we're going to make plans, and we're going to do our best to just sally forth as though they're going to happen, and then we adjust when things change. I think that's the best any of us can do right now. So,
And you know, and if you want to do business here, we just simplified. We went through. We tried and tried and tried and tried. How are we going to do it today? How are we going to do it today? How are we going to do it today? And finally, by Thursday, we realized that basically everything we were doing boiled down to a simple set of things, right? Like curbside delivery and appointment and personal shopping. That's all it is. But all of it starts with a phone call. So we just came up with call ahead shopping experience or case. And we came up with paradoxes on the case, and like that, just no matter what the conditions are, you know, we limited our hours to 11 to 6, and that's when we're here. So if you see the governor of North Dakota say that non-essential businesses, even beyond everything already shut down, need to finally lock the front door to the public, we're doing the exact same thing the restaurants are doing. If you're going to call ahead and do curbside pickup at a restaurant, that's exactly what you can do here. And you know, we need your support. You know, we're going to support you. We emphasize your health comes before your hobbies, but we need you as well. One thing I said a couple of times is like, I know Paradox feels like a permanent fixture, but we're like a lot of you, where, you know, that next month's payroll, that next week's sales. So like, that's how a retail operation moves along. So, you know, keep us in mind if and when you can. And you know, we were scrambling. All we were doing was scrambling until we got that policy. Now I feel like after that policy, now we get to start having fun, you know, and figuring out things that we can do. We've already come up with Cabin Fever Comics, which is a $20 delivered package of 13 comic books and with a nice variety inside. And we have more plans for that coming as well. I can imagine a variety pack of dice and miniatures. And I know already the package that'll go in. So I got to figure out the price on that. Booster packs, we're going to do something like that. And eventually like Magic singles, we're going to do stuff like that. So anything we can come up with, you know, the new D&D book came out this week. If you need that, you know, call ahead. We'll either have you come pick it up or we'll USPS it to you. Like it isn't that hard, if that makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. It's just an adaptation that we all have to go through and hope to God that it's worth the price. So,
Yeah. So thank you guys for tuning in and for supporting the store throughout all of this. We hope that you're staying safe and healthy. And check us out. We'll still be online, ParadoxCNC.com, Paradox on Facebook. We're also at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram. So we will be here, and we're going to do our best to provide some entertainment and things in the weeks to come. At least trying to keep up with the regular streaming options like our comic show and Tabletop Thursdays and things like that. So hopefully we can still connect with you through those things and through some of these other virtual events that we're planning. But until then, like we said, stay safe, and we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time, be gone.